My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonitotum, episode 63. Hello, my friends. On every episode of Sonitotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. On every weekly episode, I like to start off by talking about what's happened in my creative world since we last spoke in the week previous. Just to be able to share with you the accomplishments and challenges and triumphs and mistakes and things I may have learned and things I may have discovered, in the hopes that, not just so that you see that I am in the weeds, in the trenches, pick your metaphor, but also hopefully so that you find value in my experiences and maybe learn something or have something to take away for yourself. This is being recorded on Saturday, December 10th, 2022, and we are in the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media in Southern California. So, what happened this past week? Well, as I mentioned last episode, I have been alone in the house, so that's been nice. I've been kind of in my preferred state, which is not really having any set schedule. I mean, getting things done, but not killing myself if I haven't started until 10 or 11 on whatever, because I don't have to stop to consider someone else's plans, that kind of thing. It's my preferred state. And so I've been trying to take advantage of that. And at the same time, left to my own devices without some external prompts, I can, get a little draggy. I've been making sure that I have a somewhat of a system. And if I stray from that system, if it does end up being late in the day and I start to feel like I haven't really done anything, then I'm not punishing myself for it. I'm just going ahead and get into whatever it might be. I tend to do a lot of kind of rock skipping when I'm without an external schedule. So I might work on one thing and then skip over to something else and dip into that for a while and then skip into something else and then come back to the first thing. And I call it free range creativity. And maybe it's because I'm a Gen X latchkey kid who was allowed to roam the neighborhood and the local wildernesses and, you know, just be gone from the house for hours and hours and hours with no plan, no agenda, no real expectation of when I needed to be home, because either there wasn't anybody at home because they were working or because it was okay. It was totally okay to just be out until, at a certain age, the rule was be home when the streetlights turn on. And in the summertime, that could be 8:30 at night, right? Anyway, I think maybe that is why I prefer just being able to kind of just play it by ear every day. And yeah, like I said, I've got my list of things to do every day. I've got client responsibilities and I've got creative things that I would like to chip away at. But when and how doesn't matter so much. There were many nights this past week where I was still tinkering away on client work at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and okay with it, not feeling like, oh God, I got to get this done because it's time to go to bed, blah, 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 whatever. So I've been in sort of my default state, my preferred natural habitat, mentally, emotionally, creatively. It's not going to last, but I made the most of this past week. I've added words to Shadow of the Outsider, my next novel and my primary work in progress right now. It's a follow-up to my last novel-length work, Light of the Outsider, and the novelette that followed that up, The Perfumed Air at Kawanantag Bay. And I wrote on Wednesday and then again on Friday on Shadow of the Outsider. And I got all the way through the first scene, the opening scene, the hook, if you will, and a good way, maybe about a third of the way into the second scene, working my way slowly toward the inciting incident. And I'm using some story architecture terms here, hook, opening scene, inciting incident, things like that. If you're interested in me doing a whole episode on my way, my interpretation of story architecture, then let me know. It could be something we easily fill up a whole episode with. You can email me at matt@mattselznick.com and express your interest in that. Send me a voicemail. Just record something on your phone and email that to matt@mattselznick.com. Or you can just leave a comment in the show notes for this episode, episode 63. Over there at, big surprise, mattselznick.com. Just look for the podcast, find episode 63, and leave your comment there. Yeah, got into Shadow of the Outsider and shared what I had done with my patrons who pay $5 a month to support this show and my creative endeavors as a whole, and to be part of the community of patron members that we're ever so slowly putting together little by little. I'll talk more about that later. Just to say that if you're interested, you can go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron. I shared those scenes with my patrons, which is one of the benefits they get. I share works in progress with them. I don't know. I'm feeling confident and almost kind of sort of in the groove when it comes to this book. It's very difficult for me to get in that state when it comes to writing. So I'm going to try to keep that momentum going, whether I'm free range creative or not. And to that end, I set up a spreadsheet, sort of a progress tracking spreadsheet. I did the same thing with Light of the Outsider and filled out all the essentials there. This spreadsheet that I work with, basically the first tab has to do with the actual manuscript, you know, the first draft of the manuscript. And I estimate how many scenes are going to be in it. And I've got my outline, you know, so when I complete a scene, I note that on the spreadsheet, and that tells me, you know, how many scenes remain. And I also keep track of the word count, which tells me not just the total word count, but the average word count per scene, which in turn, I guess you could say, determines an approximate guesstimate as to how long the actual work will be. And it's a fluid kind of thing, right? Sometimes scenes are cut, sometimes they are combined. So the calculation changes at all times. The other thing that I have set up on this spreadsheet is because we have an idea, even if the idea changes, of how many scenes, and I have an idea based on how often I think I'm going to be writing or completing scenes, I have an idea of how many days it's going to take to finish. Well, I can chart out a projected end date. Now, I take that end date and then I pad it, because I know, even if I think I'm going to be, you know, finishing a scene every 2 days, shit's going to happen. And some weeks it's going to be a lot slower. Hey, some weeks it's going to be faster. So I put a lot of padding on it. If we look at that spreadsheet, and I am looking at it right now, there are an estimated 50 scenes. I'm not sure if that's going to be right or not. Unlike my last book, I have not completely outlined everything. The third act is a little loosey-goosey, which I'm okay with that, but I'm going to estimate 50 scenes, and I have projected a completion deadline of June 30th, 2023. Now, that's way the hell in the future. That means I only have to do about a quarter of a scene per day, and the reason that it's so slow is I have baked into the deadline the idea that probably only going to be writing at my best 5 days out of seven. And again, I added a bunch of padding. So I'm looking at the spreadsheet right now, and 50 scenes. I've completed one scene, although I'm, you know, a little bit into the second scene. It's not completed, so it's not on the spreadsheet. So that's 2% drafted, 49 scenes remaining, right? There's 2,749 words in the draft, which gives us a projected total words of 137,450. I don't think this book is going to be that long, but right now, that's the projection. And what that tells me is that I need to be writing 667 words per day, which is, you know, not bad. That's about, on average, that's about an hour's worth of work for me. I have hours where I can blast through 1,000 words or as little as 400 to 500. So 667, you know, call it 675. That's a nice sweet spot to shoot for. And I do this because while I don't really put stock into I must write X number of words per day, I think completed scenes is a more accurate yardstick. I do this just so I can see where I'm at, you know? I can see progress being made. It works for me. It's a momentum building kind of thing. So I set up that spreadsheet. That's done. The other thing that happened this week, the ebook distribution aggregator, Draft to Digital, Draft number 2 Digital, which is a service company that basically they will distribute your ebook to all of the various ebook marketplaces. So you don't have to have an individual account for Kobo and Barnes and Noble and Scribd and Apple and Google Play and all the other international marketplaces and stuff. They recently bought a very long-running, long-standing marketplace slash distributor called Smashwords. And so Smashwords and Draft to Digital are now one. They're integrating the two services in a three-phase manner. And the first phase just went live. So I was able to add all of my titles to Smashwords through Draft to Digital. So I did that. And then, of course, that meant also updating all of the books pages on my website over at mattselznick.com/books so that people can, you know, be on the page for Light of the Outsider, for example, and just click on the Smashwords button. And that takes them to Smashwords and they can buy the book and yada, yada, happy, happy. So did that. And that means that for some of my books, man, there are like a dozen or more marketplaces where they can be purchased. And so that's pretty cool. So, you know, if you use Smashwords to buy your ebooks, my stuff is there now. Knock yourself out. That is about the size of it for the week that we just had. I feel all right about it, you know? I also had a bunch of client work to do, so that took up time. And of course, just kind of keeping up the house and taking care of the cat and all that stuff. But good progress. I'm writing, and that feels pretty good. I just need to keep it up, right? So this week, I'd like to kind of riff on something that I heard the documentary filmmaker Brett Morgan say on an episode of What the Fuck with Mark Maron, the interview podcast. It was What the Fuck 1365, if you'd like to listen to this interview. Brett Morgan is the documentary filmmaker who most recently has done the Bowie documentary Moon Age Daydream, which is on, oh my goodness, one of the streaming services. I'm blanking on which one. I'll have that in the show notes at mattselznick.com, the show notes for Sonitotum 63. But he's a filmmaker, a documentarian, if you will, who's been around for some time now. And it was a good interview. But one thing that he said made me stop, pause the podcast, and write it down because it resonated. It made me think that, you know, this guy is a kindred spirit. And what he said was, if you've seen it before, why in the world are you doing that? And this hit me because it's kind of the thing that I try to embrace in my own stuff. I don't want to check the boxes. I don't want to satisfy all the tropes. I don't want to connect all of the dots to make the same old picture. Do I have to keep using really strained, awful, not very good analogies and metaphors? I hope not. And it ties into something else that came up yet again when I was having conversations with folks in one of the Facebook groups I belong to. In this case, the group is Wide for the Win, a group dedicated to authors who sell their books everywhere that they possibly can, not just on Amazon. And it's primarily a strategies and marketing and advice group to support that endeavor, you know, making it wide, making it with your books everywhere. And there was sort of a subthread in one of the conversations about whether or not you need to pay for an editor when you're writing, producing your self-published book. And one of the participants in the conversation took umbrage at the idea that you must have an editor. And I understand why. Some folks are very, very good at objectively assessing and editing their own work. They can do that. And they've come to that probably through years of working with themselves, with understanding what they need to make a perfectly cromulent manuscript that will be suitable to put out into the world and that will have a chance of selling to the audience that it's intended for. I get it. Some folks can edit themselves and the result will be perfectly fine. I won't say argument, the point that I tried to make, and as is the case in a lot of these Facebook discussions, the point I was trying to make got obscured by the other person making sure that their point was understood, and sure, vice versa, you know? But the point I was trying to make is that, yeah, you can totally, if you have the skill, if you have the craft, you can edit yourself. And I'm not talking, when I say editing, I'm not talking about just like finding misspelled words and making sure all the commas are in the right place and that kind of thing. I'm talking about the kind of editing that makes sure that the story itself is as good as it possibly can be. And that's where, while I would never say you must always have an editor, that's where I do say that an editor will always make your work better, allowing for the idea that the editor is an actual editor and worth their salt and not just someone who has volunteered to look over your manuscript and doesn't really, dare I say it, qualify as an actual editor. An editor will always make your story better because they are going to give you insights that you didn't know you didn't know. They're going to see your work in a way that you can't, simply because you are you and they are them. They should have suggestions for you that might push you, that might cause you to do something new, something different, something that is ideally something that represents growth above and beyond what you've done before. Because believe me, like Brett Morgan says, if you've seen it before, why in the world are you doing that? Well, okay, so the argument would be, well, I've done it before and it works, so I'm going to keep doing that, right? And that's what will happen if you don't have some sort of external influence, like an editor, to present options for your work that might make it better, that might make you better, a stronger, more accomplished writer. I see plenty of successful self-published writers who are creating, shall we call them, workman-like books, and they pump them out and they sell and they're making good money. And here's something I do. I'm in the practice of, when I get into conversations with folks about the craft and about this sort of nuts and bolts in the weeds stuff, I go to Amazon and I find their books and I do that little search inside the book thing and I read as much as I can. And I know I'm setting myself to be attacked. I just picked up the keys and I've moved into the glass house. Almost every time, what I've read doesn't make me want to keep reading. What I've read is workmanlike. It's just okay. It's perfectly acceptable, but it's not engaging. It's not, the prose isn't beautiful. It just is. And by beautiful, I don't mean that every self-published book should be, you know, this poetic, literary, I don't have the words to describe how the words should be, right? If I was writing them, perhaps I would. I'm not meaning to say that every single, I'm just going to be blunt. Most of these works are throwaway. They're meant to be read, digested, forgotten, as you move on to the next. And that, again, that's fine. That makes some of these authors enough money that they are convinced they should just keep doing that because it's working for them. But I'm in the Brett Morgan camp. If you've seen it before, if you've done it before, if you've seen it before, why in the world are you doing that again? Isn't there more? Don't you want more? Don't you want your art to be fucking art? Don't you want the thing that you put out in the world, the thing that you're going to spend the time on anyway, and the energy and the mental energy and the emotional energy, don't you want that to be something awesome? Don't you want it to be something that is just that much better than the last thing you did? Don't you want to grow? It's frustrating. I want to read more independent authors, but I can't find stuff I want to read because none of it's, and I know I've touched on this before, it's empty calories to me. And I do not begrudge the advantage to writing this kind of stuff. I'm assuming they can do it fast. And in many cases, it does sell because, hey, they can put out 3-4 books a year and build a catalog rapidly, and there's an audience for everything. So they are serving their particular audience, which is beautiful. That is what this whole thing is about. That is what self-publishing is about. I guess I just don't get it. I don't understand how it can be okay to find a level that works and stay there. It would be like being in a job that you know you can just show up day in, day out, and in 20 years collect your pension. And don't you want that time to mean something? So when I think of if you've seen it before, why in the world are you doing that? I think of it also as not just if you've seen it done elsewhere, why are you also doing it? But if you have done that before, why are you doing it again? Isn't there something more? Isn't there a deeper place you can go? Because the more vulnerable and authentic and real your work is, the more it's going to appeal. And I get frustrated by it, even as I recognize that it's perfectly valid for folks to take that approach, the approach of, let's just shorthand it and call it to be hack writers, to produce quickly these good enough works. I get frustrated because I accept that that is a perfectly valid, there is no wrong way to do it, perfectly valid path to self-publishing success. I get frustrated because I realize that's valid, but I can't seem to do it. I don't want to do it. And the frustration comes from that meaning that my own success is, has not yet been fulfilled. And there is less of a chance that it will because my work takes longer. And my work, as we discussed in the last episode about genre and the silos that authors and readers put themselves into, my work doesn't fit quite into those boxes of expectation. So it frustrates me. In 2023, I'm going to be 56 years old, and I am starting to wonder, you know, am I going to be one of those people who a decade or two after I'm dead, my shit's just sort of floating around on the internet and people discover it. And, you know, there are tiny little islands of folks who remember and gosh, you know, it's a wonder. Why didn't he have greater success? You know, it's scary. And it has a cost, but I would rather do something that challenges me. I would rather do something that is better than the last thing I did, that makes me sweat a little bit, than feel like I'm just showing up. And I hope it translates in the work sometimes, absolutely, it's going I'm going to have more success with that than other times. I think Light of the Outsider is a much better book in its own way than my first two. I think my second book was better than my first. I think the novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kawanantag Bay, is probably, it's among the best things I've written because it's different from anything that I've written, and certainly one of the more honest and ripped from my personal headlines kinds of things that I've ever written. I know that Shadow of the Outsider deals with some themes that are close to me, issues that are challenging me. And so I'm using them as challenges for my characters, as shortcomings for my characters that are also shortcomings in me. I'm using fiction as a way to explore my own life. That's what fiction is for, to figure out what it means to be human, to tell the truth through lies, to find the truth through the lie of fiction. But it's not the only path, and it's certainly not the path of the prolific and therefore more quickly successful, or at least to have a chance of being more quickly successful, self-published author. It's a choice. And if you're a writer, or honestly any kind of creator, where there are different levels of, I don't want to say quality, but a different levels of depth to what people are creating in your medium, where do you stand? Are you, and I don't mean this disparagingly, are you okay with being a hack? I promise I don't mean hack disparagingly. It's a valid choice. I'm just curious, among you who are creators in any form, are you doing it so that every time you create something, you're challenging yourself and hopefully getting better both at your craft, but also at the art of being you? Or do you not consider your creativity to be an instrument in that way? Is it just something else, something lighter, perhaps something less challenging? And again, not challenging like I'm being so careful because I'm not trying to insult anyone who does things differently. I just genuinely have a hard time understanding. If you're going to create, don't you want to really, really get down to the bare metal? Don't you? I'd like to know. Once again, your comments and feedback are so, I'm going to say, desperately requested. Email me your thoughts, matt@mattselznick, that's SELZNICK.com. Or record a brief voice message and email that to matt@mattselznick.com. Or you can simply go to mattselznick.com, mattselznick.com. Go to the podcasts section of the site, find Sonatotum episode 63, and leave a comment there at the bottom of the show notes. Let me know what you think. Every episode of Sonatotum, there are two versions of the show. One that goes out to the world in the public feed, and an uncut, unedited version that is, longer than the public version and includes a little extra content. And that version goes out to my patrons. And that is one of the many perks and bonuses and free content and special access that is just for my patron community, the Multiversalists. You can become a patron, which, by the way, will help offset the costs of doing this show and maintaining my creative endeavors as a whole, including maintaining the community that we're slowly creating. You can become a patron for just $5 a month. Just $5. When you go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron. You can also go to patreon.com/Matt Selznick. Become a patron for $5 a month. Go to either of those links and find all of the benefits and perks and special stuff that you get for being a patron. $5 a month will get you into the Multiversalists community of readers and writers, and I hope you'll consider it. If you've enjoyed this or any episode of Sonatotum, if I've made you think on the topic of pushing yourself, on the topic of not repeating yourself, on the topic of vulnerability versus rote work, then I hope you will leave a rating or review wherever it is that you've heard this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. I hope you'll rate and review the show, a 4 or 5 star rating. If you have a little extra time, a review written in your own words about what you think of the show. Ratings and reviews really, really help. They raise the show up in the visibility in the directories at those podcasting apps. And little by little, the more ratings and reviews, the more other folks will decide to give Sonatotum a try, growing this listener community. Speaking of the listeners, you, my dear listener, because you have listened all the way through to the very end of another episode of Sonatotum, you get access to special discounts and offers on my creative services. My day job is helping authors, podcasters, and other creators bring their works to fruition, to market, and to an audience. And because you are a listener, you get access to special discounts. All you have to do is go to mattselznick.com/listener-love to find out what the current offers are. They change now and then, so that's what that link is for. And this is just for you, the listener. I don't mention these discounts, these offers, anywhere else in any other form. So thank you for listening, and check that out. And speaking of thank yous, one of the perks, one of the benefits of being a patron is that I mention you at the end of every episode of Sonatotum. I acknowledge you. I thank you. And our patrons this time around are Ted Leonhart and Chuck Anderson, who are Multiversalist patrons at $5 a month. Join them so I can thank you in the next episode. Go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron. If you've seen it before, why are you doing that? I thought about those words while I was writing in Shadow of the Outsider this week, and I'm going to be thinking about those words when I get to the editing stage of Shadow of the Outsider, weeks or months from now, and I'm looking at the choices that I made in that first draft and making new choices so that I'm not falling into my old traps. Writing is like acting. It's almost entirely about the choices that you make to portray these characters. And you can be a writer like an actor who always shows up and is basically just themselves, or you can be a writer who is like a master actor who disappears into the role, and every time they show up on stage or on screen, it's a revelation. It's a choice we make. It's a difficult one, but I think it's worth it. What do you think? All right, my friends, my name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. I want you to take care.